Now, please get your Bibles and turn them to the book of Psalms. There are three passages that we will be reading. The first one is Psalm 124, verse 8. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then Psalm 138, verse 8. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. And then 146, verse 5. Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May God himself add his divine blessing to it. One of the elements of our public worship service is the votum, spelled V-O-T-U-M. For instance, look at the order of worship here. First, we have the call to worship, and then the votum, followed by the salutation. Now, children, you might ask, what is the votum? Where did we get this idea of having the votum as part of our worship service? What is the significance of the votum in our worship service? Well, with God's help, in this message, we will be seeking to answer those questions. So I have 3 points in this message, and here's the first one. What is the votum? And then, secondly, what is the origin of the votum? Where did it come from? And then finally, which will be my main point in this message, what is the significance of the votum in our worship service? So first of all, what is the votum? Well, in our federation, the United Reformed Churches in North America, the standard votum is Psalm 124, verse 8, which reads, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." These words have become our votum. Now, please keep in mind, though, that this votum is unique to a congregation that has a Dutch Reformed tradition. In other words, if you attend a worship service by a church which does not have a Dutch Reformed background, most likely you will not hear this votum. For example, if you attend a worship service by a non-denominational church or by a Methodist church or by a Baptist church, most likely you will not see a votum in their church program or order of worship. Why? Because the votum is unique to churches with Dutch Reformed heritage. And for that reason, too, if you attend a church service by Christian Reformed Church or by Free Reformed Church or Heritage Reformed Church or Protestant Reformed Church, in all likelihood, you will hear a votum in their worship service. Why? Because these churches have a Dutch Reformed tradition. Now, what is the origin of the votum? Interestingly, in the Psalter Hymnal Supplement published in 1974, the Liturgical Committee of the Christian Reformed Church says that the votum has a complicated origin or historical background. In fact, the saying of Psalm 124, verse 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord," was originally said privately by the Roman Catholic priest. The priest would whisper the words of Psalm 124, verse 8, and he would whisper it along with his private confession of sin as he entered the sanctuary to celebrate the Mass. And so what we now call the votum was not the beginning of the people's public worship, but rather it was part of the priest's private preparation for worship service. Now, what happened was that during the Reformation, John Calvin took over the words of Psalm 124, verse 8, and he used those words to begin their public worship service in Geneva. So Calvin included the saying of "Our help is in the name of the Lord" in their order of worship. But here's the problem. He did not tell us why he did so. He did not, called it a votum. And so for that reason, even today, no one is quite sure of how this Latin word, votum, crept into and managed to stay in our Reformed liturgy. In fact, some people today would say that since few know about the meaning of the term votum, might as well drop it from our liturgical vocabulary. After all, what's the use of that term? They would say the appearance of the term votum on our order of worship is liturgically useless or meaningless. Well, in my third point, I would argue that the appearance of the term votum is not liturgically useless. In fact, it is useful. And I will give you four reasons why. And so what I will be doing in my third point, which is the main point of my message, is give you some thoughts on the significance of our votum in public worship service. So let me give you four. Here's the first one. The votum is our solemn vow or promise to God. Now, take note, the votum is not a prayer in itself. Rather, it is a vow or promise made to God. In fact, the term votum comes from the Latin verb vovere, which means to vow or promise. And so when a minister pronounces the votum, when he says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord," what he's doing is he is making a vow to God on behalf of the congregation. He's saying that our help, and this is our pledge or promise to God, that our help comes from the Lord. We read in Psalm 121, verse 1, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And so, you see, the votum is our promise to God that we will find our help in no one else but in God alone. David says in Psalm 20, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name
of our Lord, of the Lord our God. Why? Because our help is in the name of the Lord. And this is our solemn vow to Him, even as we worship God. Now, what does it mean then? Well, it means that we will worship God not using our own strength, but His strength. It means that as we pray in our congregational prayer or in your silent prayer, we will pray not in our power, but in God's power. Now, when we sing, that means that we will sing with God's help. Yes, you can use your talent if you are musically gifted, but now you've just made a vow before God at the opening of our worship service. Our help is in the name of the Lord. So what you're saying is, Lord, I want to worship You. I want to sing praises to You using not my own strength, but Your strength. Even for us preachers, it means that when we preach the Word of God, we are fully aware that we are going to preach not in our power, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Remember the words of Paul, "My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And even when we give our offerings, we do so with God's help, realizing that by nature we are not givers. By nature we are not generous. By nature we are selfish. And so we say, Lord, I want to give my offerings to You with Your help. And since the votum is our solemn promise to God, we will worship Him with His help. That means that whenever we worship Him, apart from Him, without His help, then we are sinning against Him. The moment you start worshiping God using your own strength, using your own ability, then you are sinning against God. Because God wants us to worship Him with His help. It is our personal commitment to Him. And so when you hear that votum, our help is in the name of the Lord, remember your solemn promise to God that you will worship Him with His help. Now my question is this: are you actually worshiping Him using His strength? Are you worshiping Him in His power? Are you worshiping Him by His grace, with His help? Or maybe you are too proud of yourself, not even realizing your own weakness, thinking that you can do it. You know, our children, when they reach that stage, when they become 4 or 5 years old or 6 years old, they want to be a big boy. They want to be a big girl, right? And they think that they can do everything on their own. Now they don't want the help coming from their parents. I can do it. I can do it. And sometimes we act like that before God. I can do it. Perhaps we don't say it vocally, but deep within us, there's that pride telling us, you can do it. You don't need God to help you. Use your might. Use your talent. Preach using your ability to preach. Sing using your gift in singing. No. Remember the votum. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And so we want everything to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever we do during worship service. Now, secondly, the votum is a humble declaration of our total dependence on God. The votum is not really a prayer, but a declaration of our absolute dependence on our God. We declare that our only help is in the name of the Lord. And so when the minister pronounces the votum, our help is in the name of the Lord, he is declaring before God his absolute dependence on God. But since he is representing the congregation, he is doing that on behalf of the entire congregation. And so when you hear that votum, you are saying to Lord, I acknowledge my complete dependence on you. Lord, I acknowledge that apart from you, I can do nothing. And so in our votum, in the declaration of our votum, we humbly acknowledge that apart from God, we cannot worship Him. Psalm 86 verse 1 says, bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, says the psalmist, for I am poor and needy. Do you want to know who you are before God? You are a poor, needy sinner. If you're looking for a description, a title for yourself, you know, when people ask you, who are you? How do you describe yourself? Here's a good description. We are poor, needy sinners. We are beggars. And don't we sing, frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. We are feeble. I sometimes wonder if we realize that we are weak. And so, if we are able to worship this evening, let us not forget that it is only because of His divine help to us. You are here this evening because God is sustaining you, because God is helping you. I am standing before you this evening because of God's help. My help comes from the Lord. Without His help, I would be nothing. I would not even be able to stand before you this evening. I like what Paul says too. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. And so, when you hear the votum, that should humble us. It should. It should humble us. Because the votum is telling you that you are weak. But it is also telling us that God is strong. And so in my third point, the votum can serve as an encouragement to us as we worship Him. The votum can serve as an encouragement to us as we worship Him. How many times we entered God's place of worship distressed, discouraged, and maybe there were times when we said, okay, this is going to be my last worship service in this place. From now on, I don't want to worship God anymore. If God is good, then why did He allow me to experience this trial in my life? Discouragements are there. I don't know about you, maybe this evening you are discouraged. But whenever you hear that votum, it's so wonderful. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Yes, we are weak, but listen to that votum. There is that encouragement. It is our comfort that He is there. In fact, the agenda for Synod of the Christian Reformed Church, written in 1920, tells us that this votum is not meant to be a prayer for divine aid, but rather a solemn declaration that God is in the midst of his people with his saving grace. Even Abraham Kuyper says that the votum is intended to confirm the presence of God in the midst of his people. And so what a confirmation, what a big assurance. Our help is in the name of the Lord. We are being reminded that we are not alone in this place of worship. That God is with us. And what is he doing? He is helping us. Remember the words of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. And what? A very present help in time of trouble. I like that. A very present help. Yes, God helped us in the past. He continues to help us and he will keep helping us. But here the emphasis is his abiding presence, that he is sustaining us, helping us presently. Sometimes we think that God has abandoned us, that he has left us, has forsaken us. You're wrong. He cannot do that to you because he is our very present help in time of need. So think about that. It's not easy to listen to a sermon. If it is difficult to preach, I understand it is also difficult to listen to a message. It requires energy, mental energy. You need to work hard. It is a hard work to listen to a message. But even as you are listening to God's message, you are being helped by God because he is your very present help in time of need. And so the votum is our encouragement. That's why I love, yes, this is our tradition, having come from a Dutch Reformed tradition or background. But what a beautiful tradition we have. We have this votum. And frankly, I think many of us, we simply don't care about the pronouncement of votum. We don't realize its significance, but it is significant. It can become a source of comfort for us as we worship God. Because we know that his help is certain. Of course, we know there is a famous hymn taken from Psalm 46. A mighty fortress is our God, written by Martin Luther. Psalm 46 inspired Luther to pen the words of "A mighty fortress is our God," which is really a paraphrase of Psalm 46. And it is reported that when Luther received any discouraging news, he would say to his friend, "Come, let us sing Psalm 46. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper. He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." So are you discouraged this evening? Remember that God is your help, even your very present help. Someone has said, God is more present than friend or relatives can be. Yes, more nearly present than even the trouble itself. If that trouble is so close to you, God's help, his presence is even nearer. He is with you, helping you. And finally, the votum is our response to God for what he has done for us. Namely, he has delivered us from our sins. And here we see then the dialogical nature of our worship service. When you say dialogical, there is a dialogue between God and his people. We are not worshiping a dead God. We are worshiping a living God. The God who who communicates, the God who dialogues with us through His Word. And we also respond to Him. That's why even in your order of worship begins with the call to worship. In the call to worship, God is calling us to come into His presence. Come, come. It's not just an invitation that you can turn down. It is a call. It is a command. God is calling us, His covenant people, come into My presence. And then we respond with the votum. We say to Him, we come with Your help. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of His own hands. And so in this sense, the votum is a statement of our praise and thanksgiving to God. Actually, if you recall the context of Psalm 124, this is about God's deliverance. I want you to go back to Psalm 124 and let's read that chapter so we see the context of what we now call the votum, which is Psalm 124, verse 8. So let's read verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When the wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the flowers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. And then here comes the votum. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's the response to God's deliverance. God has delivered them, and in response, they are saying, our help is in the name of the Lord. Thank you, O God, for what You have done for us. You have delivered us from our enemies. Now, if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received a far better kind of deliverance because you have that deliverance from sin. And our proper response too is to say, our help is in the name of the Lord. An old Indian chief constantly spoke of the Lord Jesus and what He meant to him. And then a friend of his asked him, why do you talk so much about Jesus? And the old Indian chief did not reply, but slowly and deliberately gathered some sticks and bits of grass. He made a circle of them, and in the circle he placed a caterpillar. And still silent, the old chief struck a match and lit the sticks and grass, and they watched, he and his friend watched the caterpillar. As the fire caught around the circle, the trapped caterpillar began to crawl around rapidly, seeking a way to escape. As the fire advanced, the helpless caterpillar raised its head as high as it could. If the caterpillar could have spoken, it would have said, my help can only come from above. Like what we read in Psalm 121, verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then the old chief stooped down. He extended his finger to the caterpillar, which crawled up his finger to safety. That, said the chief, glowing, was what the Lord Jesus did for me. I was lost in sin. My condition was hopeless. I was trapped. Then the Lord Jesus stooped down in love and mercy, and he drew me out of the horrible pit of sin and shame. He graciously helped me. How can I help but love him and talk of his wondrous love and care? How can I help but declare my help comes from the Lord? Tell me, my friend, how the Lord delivered me from my sin, from its power, and from its penalty. That's why I want to sing praises. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Now, how about you? Have you been delivered from sin? If you have, then you can also respond to God with the votum. You can say, our help is in the name of the Lord. Is God your help anyway? Who is your help? Who is your strength? Who is your salvation? The Bible says, blessed or happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob. There is a great blessing when God becomes your help. You are happy. Young people, I know you want to be happy. You want to be happy? Then make God your help. Because if he is your help, you will be blessed. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. But if God is your help, by God's grace, you can continue worshiping him, serving him, yes, even in the midst of our great trials in life. Let us pray. Lord, our God, we thank you so much for what we now call the votum, Psalm 124, verse 8, which we hear every Sunday as we enter your sanctuary, as we worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that every Sunday we are being reminded that indeed you are our help. And indeed, Lord, help us to fulfill our pledge to you that we will find our help in no one else but in you and in you alone. And we thank you that you are our very present help in time of difficulty, that you are always with us, and that you will remain in us even until the end of this world. And we thank you that we have been given this guarantee that we will be able, by your grace, to finish the race. Oh, how we look forward to see Jesus someday, to see him face to face, and to be with him forever and ever. Amen.